Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. This is a Saturday special. So we began yesterday's show with some of the challenges for parents with New York City and other school systems planning a hybrid model for this fall, right? Some days in school, some days remote learning, staggered schedules, things like that. How will you cope with family and work? Today, we'll start with the challenge for teachers and recommendations for how to start the school year from Michael Mulgrew, president of the United Federation of Teachers, the union representing teachers in New York City. But the concerns he has are relevant to so many school systems right now. Michael, always good to have you on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Well, thank you, Brian, for having me. Yes, we are definitely at a challenging time right now, to say the least.
As are we all. So, Michael, what do you think about the hybrid model the mayor is planning? 2 or 3 days in school, 2 or 3 days remote, and a lot of parent choice for opting in or out.
If we get to there, it's, we, as the teachers themselves, the union and teachers, we're looking at this from the middle of April on, and we've come to the conclusion that a blended, or what we were calling a hybrid at the time, was the only way we could be safe. But if anyone asked us right now, could we open schools tomorrow safely? The answer is no, we can't right now because we're so far behind in the planning. We had asked City Hall in April and in May, despite, you know, it was very challenging the way the schools got shut down. We said we want to start planning now, and City Hall just was not receptive to planning. They said we could wait till the summer, and that was, I think that was a mistake at that point, because we normally start planning for a new school year in April, and that's a regular school year, not a school year we're in the middle of a pandemic. But if we're going to open, if the numbers, in, if we can get to phase four and we can follow the guidelines set forth by the governor, then that is the model we would have to follow. But there's still so many questions that haven't even been answered. So we're preparing right now to try to get all those questions answered by the Department of Ed, the Department of Health, but we're also preparing as teachers to do fully remote, because it would be irresponsible if we didn't prepare for both.
In theory, teachers and parents have some concerns in common and some that are opposed, and I realized that, of course, and obviously, mm-hmm. many teachers are currently raising kids too, so they're in both positions. But in theory, yeah. More parents would want their kids in school, if at all possible, while teachers have incentive to err on the side of safety and teach remotely. This is a political analysis that's going around. How much should parents trust that your interests are fully the same as theirs?
Well, when it comes to safety of their children, we're completely aligned with their interests. Because that, you know, New York City was the school system where the parents and the teachers had to fight together to close the system, where the mayor did not want the system closed. And there was, that mistrust between teachers and parents with City Hall is there. And it's a big problem that we're having right now because, teachers and parents are both telling us, because we work with groups of parents all the time as well as with teachers, they're like, even if you have all the rules and we have our questions answered, what's going to make it different this time when the mayor didn't follow the rules last time? How are we going to ensure that if we set up these rules and we answer the questions, they're actually going to be followed? Because that's not what happened in March. So in terms of our own interests, everything we're doing right now is we said we need safe, supportive schools, and we have to support the entire school system. We're working with parents right now to tell the mayor, like, we need a child care system. Whether we go back to school or not, we still are going to need a child care system for the city of New York, because there are so many people who are going to have to, if they go to work, they don't have child care right now. So what happened in March was we set up those rec centers, support centers, which frontline workers could bring their children for child care. And we had about 3,000 rotating teacher volunteers manned those centers. They were manning those centers on a daily basis, and we were going in and out of them, checking all the PPE. We were following whatever guidelines and new evidence or new guidelines being coming out from different healthcare institutions. And that worked out in terms of nobody there. We didn't have a single positive COVID case, but that was a small scale. So when it comes to what's the difference, the teachers right now, because so many of our members passed away, We had over 70 members, school-based members, who passed away. They directly feel that it was because of what the mayor did in March. Parents are telling us, because I know the mayor likes to put out this poll, that 75% of all parents want the schools reopened. Right. It's misleading. You know, I guess at this point in time, I guess we're all used to politicians misleading us with polls. But
why do you think that's misleading?
Because if you read the polls, if you actually read the questions and the crosstabs, it said 25%, basically 20 to 25% of parents said they don't want their children going back. It's not going to be safe without a vaccine. 20 to 25% said they want their children back. They need their child to go back to school. But the 50% in the middle said, we're willing and we would consider sending our child back to school if, and they had a whole list of questions that had to be answered, just like the teachers do, and it's all based on safety. Everything is based on safety. And they want those questions answered. They don't want, you know, I do focus groups with hundreds of parents at a time. They're like, I want my child to go back to school, but can you guarantee me they're not going to bring the virus back into my household? And that's a pretty standard question we get answered. So it then comes down to, what are the procedures in place? Are we following them? And, you know, we're working 12 to 14 hour days right now with the Department of Ed trying to put this all in place. But it's a major undertaking, massive amount of the challenge and the uphill battle that we're facing at this moment. But as I said, we're preparing for both. And we believe we're with the parents on this.
George in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with UFT President Michael Mulgrew. Hi, George.
How you doing, Brian? Hi, Michael. Look,
hi, George.
We're not the world's largest baby. Hi. We're not the world's largest babysitting force. Bloomberg said it, and de Blasio insinuated it, using it as an excuse to keep schools open in early March, right? Child care for New York is not the responsibility of the DOE and the UFT. So if you listen to Brian's show yesterday, Brad Lander and Bridget Schulte, I think her name was.
That's right.
They had some great ideas using storefronts for child care, maybe even for school. But, I mean, come on, let's look at this for a second. You've got a third of your income for child care. You got more than half for rent. That doesn't leave much left over for anything else. So universal child care is what's needed. De Blasio did a great job putting pre-K through, but the job's not done. The last thing I want to say is you can't put kids and teachers in danger because the numbers look good right now, and you want to reopen the economy, marching us into poorly ventilated classrooms with an airborne virus. I hate remote learning as much as the next teacher does. There's nothing like being in the classroom and the real thing. But, Michael, I'm calling on you with the rest of our members. You got to make sure we're safe, bro.
I got you. Look, I see, Brian, this is what you're hearing there is what the issue is. First, in March, all they talked about was teachers as babysitters, right? It was insulting and it was disrespectful. Then the mayor didn't follow the rules on the safety guidelines. Now it's like, we've told the city hall, you need a child care program, but it's not the Department of Ed and the teacher's responsibility. Our job is to have children learning. So that's where we're pushing this. And you can hear from George, one of our members, he's clearly saying that what happened in March is definitely still having an effect. And we want, nationally, you're hearing it now, you can't move your economy until you first get this virus under control nationally.
Let me ask you, George, one follow-up question. George, are you saying that given current conditions in New York, even the current low level of the virus, that you as a teacher would like 100% remote learning this fall?
I am not a huge fan of remote learning, Brian. I like I said a second ago, there's nothing like being in there with the kids and the real thing. And I don't really know anybody that does like it. But I do want to have safe conditions to teach in for me and my students.
Are they attainable?
That's what I want.
Can they make safe conditions?
The buildings are, the windows don't open in half the classrooms. There's poor ventilation in the classrooms and in the hallways. And that's all I want to say now, except I do want to recognize the 70-some-odd teachers, principals, counselors, and aides that passed on during the epidemic.
Absolutely.
That's all I want to say.
George, thank you very much.
George, how do you feel? No, George, can I do a follow-up? George, how do you feel about the mayor's guidance in terms of how it was handled in March. Do you trust him? If we put everything in place, do you trust him to follow the guidelines or to follow the rules of safety?
I'm afraid that the mayor is going to choose reopening the economy over safety. And I think that a lot of government officials are going to have that on their minds right now. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a spike and we're going to be in lockdown again. That's the way I think it's going to go down.
George, thank you very much.
Thank you, George.
Michael, what about the particular concern he raised about school buildings where you can't open the windows? Ventilation, airflow is considered important for, you know, making the virus less catchable when you're among other people. What about those places? Are you recommending that they not be used at all, that so many of the classrooms, or what about those spaces?
Right now, in terms of what we've told the Department of Ed, is we're going to send in our own person. They're checking it themselves. I'm like, if we don't have what's called a proper air exchange, free-flowing air, then we shouldn't use that. We could send certain schools shouldn't be used at all, and then in certain schools, you should just eliminate a whole bunch of different classrooms. Because that, now what the science is clearly telling us is mask, hand washing, and airflow. That's the three big things to stopping a virus. And once you bring people indoors, you really, that airflow becomes crucial. So, you know, if we cannot have children and teachers in a room where there's no airflow, because you're basically setting yourselves up to causing the virus to start to grow again. So we are adamantly against using any sort of indoor room that does not have the proper airflow in it.
Tyson,
and that's from the doctors. See, we do everything based off of the doctors, not based off of political needs.
LT in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with UFT President Michael Mulgrew. Hello, LT.
Hi. LT. I'm a teacher, and I'm also a parent.
You're a teacher and also a parent? Uh-huh.
Yes, I have a five-year-old. So if the school where she goes to public school, but not where I teach, and my wife is also a teacher, if they go to an alternating schedule, then and I have to be in school all 5 days and my wife has to be in school all 5 days, then we don't have childcare for her.
Correct.
On the days when she has to be remote. And both our principals have said sorry, but they can't accommodate us with that. They can't give us a hybrid schedule of remote and in person. So that's my first concern. Like, what is the UFT trying to work out with the mayor on that? And then the second thing is, you already answered the ventilation question. If the windows don't open in September, then you can't use those classrooms, which means even less students will come in. But who is overseeing the custodians? Like, where is the oversight for them in terms of making sure that there's soap and paper towels and that things are wiped down and cleaned? Because during the school year, even before this happened, we used to have to call our custodial boss all the time because the soap in the kids' bathroom wasn't filled. And this was before Corona. And they're nice people, but they just go, oh, we'll get to it when we get to it. And it just doesn't seem like they have oversight for cleaning the building and making sure that we're stocked with the proper hand washing materials.
Yep. So the first part of your question, this is a concern we brought to City Hall in April. We said you need a child care program for the entire city of New York. Whether we open schools or not, you're going to need one. They just recently, and I understand there might be something today, they just recently engaged in that part of the process because they did not, there was no response for them from April all the way until last week in terms of a child care program for all of New York City. Whether we open the schools or not, that's what's needed. Clearly, if we open schools and social distancing, there are teachers like you who are going to need some real safe child care options. In terms of your principal answering that way, that has not yet been determined. And that's why it's so frustrating that the Department of Ed only in the last month has been able to really engage in this process with us. Because we're not sure yet on how to do all of the scheduling and make it safe. The custodial piece, here we go back to March, where the mayor came out and publicly said, we're going to close every school that with a positive case, and that the proper cleaning supplies and procedures have been put in place in every school. Well, every teacher in New York City knew that was a lie because they didn't even have the supplies at the school. So for now, it's going to be school construction authority and school facilities. And we have told them if in September we are looking to do any sort of opening of the schools, we will be doing an on-site investigation and checking off to make sure that everything is in place at that school. But that stuff is going to cost so much money. And right now our budgets have been cut dramatically. I don't know how the city will get that in place unless there's extra funding somewhere. And that's a whole different other challenge that we're facing right now. School systems have been cut dramatically, but are being asked to do so much more that will cost more that the school systems don't have at this point in time.
LT, thank you for your call. Given the concerns that we've heard so far, and frankly, I've read that many teachers are so against the hybrid plan that they don't even think that the union is protecting them enough. Considering all of that, are you concerned about a strike or a sick out come fall if the hybrid model is in place?
We're not going to open if we don't feel it's safe. We're not going to sit here and tell teachers to go in unless we feel it's safe. That's why we're doing just as much planning for fully remote at this moment. You can hear, you know, I love talking to the members. You know, we do it constantly. We do town halls with 15 to 20,000 members on them. Mm-hmm. Their concern and what they went through was so bad. I mean, everyone was going through a very difficult time, to say the least, the fear, the anxiety, and everything else. But the fact that we had to get into a street fight with the mayor to do something that was so clear everyone knew should have had to happen really has taken a major negative effect on the teachers' feeling towards City Hall. But
if we as a union don't try
to say, we're not trying to open, we're preparing. It's like I tell the teachers all the time, you prepare your lesson. You prepare your lesson. You prepare your lesson, and then you know it might go left, it might go right, or might go exactly the way you planned it. But you prepare. So we're going to prepare for social distancing. We're also preparing for complete remote because we have a lot of work to do on that. We learned a lot. Remember, there was no planning. It was never in anyone's job description. There was no system in place to support teachers for doing remote learning. We did it all, you know, haphazardly, but we did it all on our own. Groups of teachers got together, figured it out. But just like a lesson, even if it goes great, you want to make it better. So we have to prepare for remote because no matter what happens, Brian, we're going to have a lot of remote teaching.
Right.
We're just
I understand.
Going to have a lot of remote teaching.
But should I also take this as a strike threat if the city doesn't prepare sufficiently, in your opinion, but still announces they will open?
No, I wouldn't say it's a we still have a month to go and because we have a list of things that have to be answered beforehand. And, you know, if you ask me right now if the school system is going to open in September, I would say 60% that we'd be fully remote. Because the challenges that we have before us are, one, we don't have the funding, right? So we're in the middle of this horrendous fight in Washington, D.C. about the HEROES Act. Everyone's playing games with the, you know, whether it's not a debate whether the schools need the money. You're hearing everyone say you can't open schools without the money. We don't have that. Second one, the virus is raging out of control all around us. Who would have thought in April and May that New York City would be the safe place, right? Mm-hmm. But are we going to be able to maintain that? That's why I think it was smart what the governor did by putting in very clear, you know, unambiguous, here's the numbers. If these numbers are met and you have a safety plan, remember here, you have to meet the numbers and you have to have a safety plan. If we meet the numbers and we don't feel the Department of Ed has a safety plan in place, then we will do everything in our power to make sure that a school doesn't open and put children and teachers at risk.
Kerry in Jackson Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kerry.
Hi. Hi, Brian. Hi, Mike. Thanks for doing what you both do.
Thank you.
Buildings open up in September, or I open up my computer in September, it's going to be my 18th year, starting with the DOE. And I am a District 75 school teacher. And my school is a multi-site school, and my site is co-located in a building with two other schools. And there is a community school on the bottom floor and a charter school in the middle floor, and we are on the top floors.
And just for our listeners' context, when you say District 75, that's special ed?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a self-contained special education district, mm-hmm. and it's public.
It's for our students with the greatest challenges, yes.
Thank
you. And I love what I do. and I miss them, and they miss me. And I'm teaching this summer, and I have a live class at 11, so thank you for taking me now, because I taught this morning, and I'm on my lunch break early in the day. But we're obviously not a barrier-free site. We walk up to the fourth and fifth floor, and there's no bathroom on the fifth floor, and the kids have related services. Occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech and language pathology, and it requires no social distancing. And obviously the teachers and the paraprofessionals, we do a lot of close proximity work. We want the kids to be independent, but it does require a lot of hand-over-hand work, and it does require a lot of, like, proximity direction. We lost a lot of District 75 staff to COVID, of the 70s.
Especially paraprofessional.
We lost a paraprofessional in my school to COVID, and he's on the honors page. Thank you.
Do you think he got it in school?
I'm not, it's not for me to guess. It's not for me.
Fair enough.
But I'd like to know, like, first of all, what kind of, and Chancellor Carranza said that District 75 students would not be required to wear their masks if they went back to school.
Do you think that's, like, wrong?
What kind of message is it sending as far as the value of the staff, as far as the value of the students? Because we're both putting each other's lives and each other's families in danger. And what kind of education could the children actually get if we're all so, like, we're scared? And
what do you want? What do you need? What are you recommending as the best model for your kids with their special needs?
Well, I'd like, first of all, I think we need better learning platforms for our emerging language learners and for our ENL learners. I think Google Classroom has made huge leaps and bounds for the regular education kids. And I think there's been so much progress made so quickly. But I think there needs to be a lot more adapted learning for the younger littles and for the kids who need more ELA and immersive language work. Icon-based touchscreen, flippable screens.
Yeah.
I think it's just a general computerized, just general computer models. I think they need more teachers to work on it. People who are actually working with the kids rather than people who are theoretically working with kids.
Carrie, I've heard people say that it's the kids with severe disabilities who are the most disadvantaged by remote learning, that they need that in person more than any other kids. Do you think that's...
Without a doubt.
Okay.
Without a doubt. It is so challenging. Yeah. And on top of that, we have a lot of students who have, like, English as a new language. So we're trying to navigate, like, using a translation service and dealing with remote learning. And our related service providers are trying to navigate using a phone system. It is an insurmountable task.
And I'm going to leave it there because we're almost out of time in the segment. One more call real quick, because I think she has a different point of view on some of this as a school social worker. Jessica in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. And Jessica, forgive me, right to the point.
Hi, I'm calling because I actually believe in the blended model. And I know our safety is something at risk. That being said, mental health, there are shortfalls in the city right now for our students' mental health. And I believe that we can't be doing the services we need to do remotely. And it saves lives to have us be working so closely with students. So that's something I'd like to see both the UFT and the mayor's office be addressing.
Jessica, thank you. And Michael, one last response. And on the way out the door here, do you think it's possible to set up the kind of massive childcare system for teachers' kids and other parents' kids so they can go back to work that would be needed in the blended model?
I think it would have been more possible if City Hall would have started working on it in April and May as we asked them to. So right now, they're just going to have a major challenge in front of them. In terms of traumatic care, we have 90 members who are being trained this summer, right now actually, on how to do traumatic care intervention, because we know so many children have suffered greatly We're doing that. We didn't plan to do that with the DOE. We went out and did this on our own. So she was just 100% on target. We know going into schools, if that come September, so many of our children have faced and been in part of things that are unconscionable in terms of what they had to face in terms of the fear of their family members dying. And just imagine being a child, a 9 or 10 year old or a 5 year old, listening to all what's been going on over the past 4 months across this country, and as well as their own families and neighborhood. We have a major challenge, but if we're safe, if we're supportive, if the schools are there, we're there to help our school communities get through these things, because it's our school system. It's not the mayor's, it's not city councils, it's the community's school, and it's our school system. It's the City of New York school system. It's no elected officials. And that's why we have to make sure that we're playing our role, doing what needs to be done, but we have to do it safely, and we got to be supporting each other.
United Federation of Teachers President Michael Mulgrew. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian. Be well.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.